Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Elizabeth, you know that there are people who believe that if someone is a prophet or an apostle or somehow inspired, that they should have, at that moment, perfect understanding of all things and should never make a mistake.
Well, but that's denying the way God works with human beings. Because, you know, God gives specific missions and specific messages sometimes,
right,
even to the prophets. But we are all human, and we don't always fully understand everything from the beginning. And
well, we certainly see that in the lives of the apostles here as they grow.
Yes. Today we're going to see in chapter 10 of the book of Acts how Peter grew developmentally his understanding. And, you know, this chapter has helped me so much with one of the controversies in our own denomination. You know, one of our founders, Ellen G. White, many of you that are listening know who she is. She actually was one of the co-founders, probably the main founder of the Adventist faith. She had some doctrines that were not right.
Yes,
for example, the shut door doctrine and some other ones where she said, you know, I misunderstood that. And a lot of people say, well, if she was a prophet really from God, or she, if she was really receiving messages from God, there's no way she could have made a mistake. And I always respond, look, I'm giving Peter here in Acts chapter 10 the possibility of growing developmentally to understand what God is trying to say. Why wouldn't I give it to her or anybody else for that matter?
And that is how God, I think, uses all of us. And because he has made someone an apostle, a prophet, or even inspired them to be a minister does not mean that they have perfect understanding, perfect knowledge of all things. We all grow day by day in our understanding of these things.
Yeah, and actually, Peter's witnessing and his own confession in chapter 10 of Acts is startling to me, because I would think that if a disciple has been with Jesus for 3 years in his public ministry, preach such great sermons on redemption history, you would think that by now they understand that all people who accept Jesus Christ can be saved.
He's gone through the Pentecost experience. He's gone through all these things. He's seen the power of the Holy Spirit. He saw the inclusivity of Jesus in his life and ministry. And yet somehow he doesn't get this. This is passed him by. He still sees Christianity as something that is only for the Jews.
And, you know, I see God's mercy in how he brings us to understanding. You know, in chapter 10 of the book of Acts, we are told ahead of time that there is this man who prays to God continually, and he's a God-fearer, it says verse 2. Now, this is a technical term in the book of Acts. A God-fearer is somebody that has not become a Jew through baptism and circumcision. Those are called proselytes. This is a person that has not been circumcised and is not considered a proselyte, a convert to Judaism, but they believe in the God of the Jews, and they're so-called God-fearers. Now, this man is even visited by an angel of God himself.
He speaks directly to him.
Yes.
He just come in and said, Cornelius, and fixing his gaze upon him, being much alarmed, he said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter."
Now, Peter is going to come and explain the gospel to Cornelius. But the problem here is the one needing conversion is Peter.
Peter.
Because he hasn't fully understood that Gentiles can actually be saved. And God has to predispose Peter to actually go with him, because the Jewish law did not allow a Jew to actually enter the house of the Gentile.
Basically, that would be as bad for him as eating something that was unclean. It would be as bad for him as doing any number of other acts that would make him impure before his God. And he saw that as a sin and wrong. And so now God is trying to desensitize him to his prejudice against anyone who's not a Jew, Gentile.
I think it's really interesting how God speaks to us in the language that we can understand. You know, Peter is at nap time. He's on top of his, in the housetop, it says in verse 9. And those people that Cornelius is sending, they're about to arrive.
Yeah, they're on their way to the city. They're almost there. And yet Peter's not been prepared for this yet.
Yes, and he's going to reject their invitation to go if God doesn't do something to say, look, this is not the way it is. So God speaks to him in a way he can understand, and that's this strange vision that starts being narrated in verse 11.
Verse 11 says, "And he saw the sky opened up, and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice said to him, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean.'"
Now, you might be wondering, what is he talking about? Yeah. Well, you know, there is a chapter in the Bible, it's Leviticus chapter 11, where we are told which meats, which flesh is okay to eat, which birds, which four-legged animals that are okay, they are healthy for us to eat, and which ones we should not eat.
That's right. We're talking about fish that have scales and fins, and animals that have a split hoof and chew the cud, and a number of things of this nature that are all listed there in Leviticus 11.
And many of us have decided to ascribe to that diet because we believe that God...
it's a healthier way to live.
Correct. And so the Jews were very strict with this. And Peter says, no way, Lord, even in the vision. He says, I'm not going to touch because I have never, he says, eaten anything unholy and unclean. Now, this is not a vision about diet. This is a vision where God is speaking Peter's language to try to tell him something about this man, Cornelius.
Yeah, this is a vision about people, not food.
Yes.
And he's saying, I want you to understand that if I've declared someone to be clean, that they are not unclean. Verse 15, and again, a voice came to him a second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And this happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky.
And so it's very interesting because it says that this vision happened three times.
Right.
I had never realized why would it happen three times because, see, Peter is perplexed. He doesn't understand the meaning of the vision. And then verse 19, while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men
are looking
for you.
You.
And it's like, ta-da! You know, and these men are going to ask you to go to a very unclean house in Peter's mind.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go with them.
And he says, but get up, go downstairs and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. And Peter went down to the men and said, behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come?
I am amazed at this story because he goes to Cornelius' house and starts, I mean, what way of starting the sermon this is, verse 28.
Yeah.
He said to them, okay, I'm in this house because God told me, and he says, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with foreigners or to visit him, and yet God has shown me, here is the interpretation of the vision, God has shown me that I should not call any men unholy or unclean, because this is not about meats, it's actually about people.
Many people have tried to interpret this to be about food.
But this is the interpretation right there.
But Peter has given us the interpretation. This is the interpretation right here in verse 28, that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I ask for what reason you have sent for me.
So then Cornelius tells him the story of how God has visited him through his angels and how he needs to understand the gospel. And this is where we see Peter's developmental understanding on verse 34. Opening his mouth, now he's going to tell the good news.
Mm-hmm.
Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now, look at that word,
now. At this point.
That God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. I understand that now, he says. What do you
After
mean
three
now?
Years with Jesus, he's seen Jesus, how he interacted with Samaritans. He's heard the stories of the Samaritans and how this was so important. The Samaritan was the hero of that particular story. Jesus was inclusive of all people. He didn't call anyone unclean. Those who were broken and physically defective, Jesus still loved and accepted and healed and cared for and gave them the gospel. And it's only now at chapter 10 of Acts that Peter says, oh, duh. Hello, what was I thinking?
Now
I get it.
And then he preaches the gospel to them. In verse 39, we are witnesses of all these things that he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible. And he starts telling the gospel to them.
Yeah.
Now, there's one little detail here, which is very interesting here. Peter would have never baptized Cornelius. You know, he would never have baptized him because even though he understood him, that he could be saved, he still had this thing. He would have to explain to his church what he had done.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the only time in the book of Acts that God reverses the order, because it's always like this. They get baptized, they accept Jesus Christ, and they get the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, they're then filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they begin to minister.
Yeah, but in this case, God has to do it backwards, just to encourage Peter.
Yeah, come
to
on, Peter, come, get with the program here.
Why don't we read on verse 44?
44, and while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were also hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?"
And he ordered them then to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he's going to have to give a report later.
Mm-hmm.
The point of the whole understanding of this story is that God reveals himself developmentally within the understanding that we have, but he pushes us forward in this understanding. And the understanding is this: the inclusive nature of the gospel. Everyone is included.
Peter is one of the founders of the Christian church, one of the early apostles, and he does not have full knowledge. Just because he's been ordered by God to be an apostle, a prophet, a preacher, he grows in his understanding of the gospel and God's feelings towards men and women. Maybe there are things where we still need to grow too, Elizabeth, and
absolutely,
certainly our listeners do as well.
Yes, and if you have a relative or a friend that doesn't seem to yet get it, know that God is after them too. He's patient with us. He has been patient with all of us. And the point is this: everyone is included in the grace of God.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.